Next on BYUSN, multiple publications have Cougar football ranked as a top three team in the Big 12. Where do we expect BYU to land in the Big 12 preseason poll? The newest addition to the men's basketball team, Tyler Maras, is on the program. His journey to the Cougars and why his game against BYU was influential on him and the coaching staff.
And sticking with hoops, how tough do we want BYU's non-conference schedule to be this season? We'll discuss. And Eli Hazlett and Sammy Oblad join the show to discuss their record-breaking performances at the Robison Invitational.
And oh, by the way, they're engaged. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Tuesday, May 6th. I'm Jeremy Jordan. He is spring social media practice football, basketball footage evaluator, Blaine Fowler.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You're evaluating all the footage.
Everything that's coming out. Yeah, spring football, the first basketball practice of the season.
They put out this video, and we were, like, reading into every little thing here.
Yeah, we're evaluating everything there is, and my goodness. Now, keep in mind that the whole crew's not here yet. Like, there were seven guys at practice.
Seven players.
Yesterday.
But pretty good
but
crew there.
Just the pure talent level on the floor of those seven guys is off the charts and something that, quite frankly, we're not used to, so...
Pretty fun to see Richie back, AJ, Kaba, Xavion St. Yeah. Shout out Jared McGregor.
Yeah.
Who's still getting it done, which is awesome. Yeah. J-Mac, they call him.
He can shoot it.
Which is awesome. All rise and shout. You know what time it is. It's time for What's Trending.
Going into this season, we're even more motivated to be better than we were the season before.
We're no longer trying to win games. We're trying to dominate games.
Kevin Young and this staff and what they offer, combined with competitive NIL, have changed the game for BYU.
So that three-point shooter is such a big deal for guys like AJ and the others to be able to do what they do.
Indeed, men's basketball announces the signing of transfer Tyler Maras from Idaho. The 6'7 sharpshooter played two seasons for the Vandals, including a 17-point performance on 4-of-8 shooting from three against BYU on November 16th. So you've seen him in the Marriott Center already. He averaged nearly 10 points a game, shot 38% from three. Kevin Young said the following about Tyler Maras. We're excited to welcome Tyler and his family to BYU. Tyler can really shoot the basketball, will help us spread the floor, which fits seamlessly with how we like to play. He's a fierce competitor who loves the challenge of competing on the defensive end as well. He had a great year after coming off a serious injury. Now he's ready to have a great summer within our player development program. We'll talk to him coming up in the next segment. Blaine, how do you see Tyler Maras fitting into the roster?
Yeah, he's like what we call a 3-and-D player. Like, he can stand out on the perimeter and knock down open threes all day long. If you look at his percentage, which is good, but his percentage when he's open is crazy good. And he's going to be open with this basketball team.
Yes, he is.
With Wright penetrating and getting down into the paint and having to double when you have to double AJ, when you have to double Richie, when you've got to rotate and you get out of sync in those rotations, he's the guy that can sit out there. And at 6'7", even if you're closing on him, he's going to get the shot off. He's going to make a lot of threes. And I say also a D, because I think with his length, he's a very willing defender that plays with toughness and is willing to go out there and be a really good lockdown perimeter defender. And so I don't know that we can expect him to fill the void left by Mowit Mag out on the perimeter. I mean, Mag eventually earned his way into the starting lineup because of defense.
He changed the season.
And then all of a sudden we're like, whoa, this dude has some offense too. I think it's the other way around. I think that Maras has phenomenal offensive skills. I think he's going to surprise people with his defensive skills and find his way on the floor, spreading that floor out. You got to respect him. Can't help so much off of him and knocking down open threes. It'll make room for AJ Rob and those guys.
Floor spacer, shooter off the bench, hopefully some Mag, Nell sort of vibes. At 6'7", you like that as well. And he adds to an already good roster. So probably a guy that's coming off the bench. But again, like Mowit last year, we didn't think Mowit was going to just immediately be in the starting lineup and at the end be what he was. He developed into this corner three sharpshooter that was amazing. His efficiency went way up. This guy can shoot it, though. He really can. Played at Alaska Fairbanks coming out of Seattle. And then he went to Idaho, got injured, only played in a couple of games his redshirt freshman year there. And then last year, his second year, he was really good, averaging nearly 10 points a game, went off against BYU. It's funny how many times in football and men's basketball, the Cougars have actually got a guy that played against them.
That's right.
The Keaton Slovis thing, like, oh, you were good against BYU, let's bring you in here. And so here he goes, and I think he adds to a nice roster already, obviously. A lot of people think BYU is a top five preseason team. We'll talk to Tyler coming up in the next segment. You see what he did against the Cougars. I like guys that feel like they have something to prove at this level. He gets a chance to play on a team that's lauded as a top five, top 10 team. He's in the Big 12. You get to play with perhaps the number one pick in the NBA draft next year and one of the top, you know, two of the other top 100 college basketball players in Robert Wright III and Richie Saunders. What's not to love here?
Yeah, and I'll tell you, I love when you just watch him on tape. We watch his release. So he's 6'7". He's got this beautiful high release, and it's almost like you could make a video on textbook shooting from him. And it's the kind of shot that I believe will hold up throughout a season that can bring consistency, and I think he'll consistently knock down threes. And as you watch him, always square. Look at that high, beautiful release. The way the ball rotates off of his hand. Like, he is very, very fundamentally sound with the shooting.
He was halfway up the floor after that release, by the way. He knew that was going
in.
Look at that.
Don't you love that high?
Got it.
But everything is lined up the way it's supposed to be lined up. And even when he's on the move coming off a screen, or he seems to get his feet set and square up and shoot going straight up. And so I think that's a shot that holds up, even at this level with these great defenses. So excited about that. Hey, yesterday, John Rothstein reported that BYU will play Clemson in the Jimmy V Classic on December 9th at Madison Square Garden
MSG.
In New York City. Here's a look at the non-conference schedule so far. And things just keep getting tougher in the non-conference. You've got Villanova in Vegas on November 3rd in the season opener.
Love that as the season opener.
You've got versus two of Dayton, Georgetown, and Miami. One of those, right? Two of those. There. So here you go.
TBD on which two.
Villanova and Vegas. Then versus Dayton, Georgetown, and Miami, one. Then versus Clemson in the Jimmy V Classic. Wyoming's still on the schedule. I'm a little surprised that's still on the schedule.
Yeah, that could always change.
AJ in Laramie. That's something.
Maybe the new AD is like, nah, we're not doing that.
So here's my question. How tough do you want this preseason schedule before a really tough Big 12 gauntlet comes into play? Do you really want? Because this thing just keeps getting tougher every time we hear a new announcement. What do you think?
That's a great question, because we know the Big 12 is going to be awesome. So we've got 5 of the 13. Remember, it was 11 last year. It's going back to 13 non-conference games. They're going to play two fewer conference games this year. Last year, BYU had one quad one non-conference game. It was Ole Miss. They lost it on a neutral court in San Diego. Providence was a quad two loss. That was it for quad one and two, Blaine.
Yeah.
They did not play a tough schedule. They were 313 out of 360-something. And Kevin Young admitted, hey, we probably needed to make that tougher. But you are right. There is a line of, it doesn't need to be that tough. The goal for BYU basketball, given how excited people are about them, is to play, I don't know, 4 or 5 quad one or quad two. You don't need a ton because conference is going to be so tough. So I would say you probably have room for maybe one more.
Yeah.
Kind of quality game like this. Quality meaning quad one or two. I would say if you go 2+ more, now you're appeasing the TV people with AJ and this team. But, how tough do you need it? Because on Selection Sunday, the point is to get a great seed. And with all the great Big 12 games, you don't need to go too hard here.
I agree with Kevin Young that last year they were not tested enough to really find out who they were. And that's what he wanted. To me, that meant we need a couple more challenging games.
Yeah.
A couple more challenging games. Not 7 of them, right? And so I think maybe I'm with you. I think maybe one.
One more.
Possibly two more. No more than two more of these types of games, because the Big 12 season is tough enough. The league is respected enough, it's good enough, that you can get the seed that you want to have by just playing well in conference.
And the goal would be, to me, right now, top 4 seed.
Yeah.
I think I was gone when that was discussed last week. Top 4 seed, to me, is the hope, because now you're in a favorable get to the Sweet 16 plus situation.
Right.
Obviously, if you're the number 5 or 6 preseason team, you're thinking, hey, 1 or 2 seed is where we really want to be. But let's be honest, if BYU gets the top 4 seed, they're in business. They had a 6 seed and they went to the Sweet 16.
Yeah, there's plenty of preseason prognostications.
Yes.
Did I just say that right? Preseason prognostications?
Yeah.
I can't say it 5 times fast.
I would.
But there's plenty that have them a 4 seed, a 3 seed, a 2 seed.
We've seen as high as 2.
Yeah,
with
we've seen
already.
As high as 2.
Yeah.
The league is very respected, and so I don't think that's going to be a problem.
No.
The preseason is not for BYU or anybody in the Big 12 about their seeding. The preseason is playing enough of a schedule to prepare yourselves to know who you are, to have your lineups down, to know who's going to come through against good teams. to start the Big 12 season.
Yep.
Because once you start, it's on. And so to me, they're close to that right now.
You definitely need some snoozers, but what you need is 4 or 5 quad one or quad two, I think. Last year, it was 2
Not
quad
enough.
One or two. Not enough.
Not enough.
BYU football prominently featured in preseason prognostications.
There we go. I like
top
it.
25
that's
polls,
our new word, preseason prognostications.
Several of which were updated over the weekend. Notably, number 14 in Joel Klatt, Athlon Sports, and CBS Sports post-spring top 25s. Klatt had BYU as the highest-ranked Big 12 team, by the way. Athlon Sports, CBS Sports had BYU second among Big 12 teams. I'm assuming that was Arizona State.
Right.
Blaine, with these expectations, do you expect in the football coaches preseason poll for BYU to be in the top 3 in the league?
I do. I do expect them to be in the top 3 in the league. And honestly, I think number 14, where we see 3 of these polls in this graphic here, is not a bad spot for BYU to start.
No.
I think based on what they did last year, what they have coming back, and some of the transfers that have come in, and we're really close to it, that for me, I'd have them a couple spots higher. I think I might have them between 10 and 12 right now.
You'd have them as high as 10.
Yeah, I'd have them between 10 and 12 right now because I expect this offense to take a step forward with a senior quarterback. And I know what they have on defense, the players that they lost. They have great talent coming back in. I was very concerned about defensive tackle. I am no longer concerned about defensive
tackle. With Justin Kirkland?
Right, with Kirkland coming in. Tanevasa made me feel a lot better. Kirkland makes me feel really, really good about D-tackle. And every place else I already felt good about. And so I think 14's fair. If you're a national media person, you're not as close to it as we are. You don't know exactly what's going on and how spring ball went. 14's fair based on who they had, you know, how they did last year and who they had coming back. We have a little more detail. That's why I'd have them a little higher.
Yep.
I think with that consensus, kind of 14-4, I think that 22 is like out of whack. Who at 24/7 Sports thinks that they don't have enough coming back to?
I don't know.
But I think universally most people would consider them in the top 3 coming back in the league. And I think that that's where they'll be when the coaches vote.
I think they'll be exactly 3rd. Because I don't get the sense that the coaches think, hey, BYU is actually going to be the preseason pick to win it. Also, do you want to be the preseason pick to win it? I actually don't want to. I want BYU to have some form of chip on their shoulder just because we have yet to see the BYU team have a ton of hype and match that hype or exceed it historically.
Right.
BYU operates better. It's in our DNA. I've talked about it a million times. Like with the Pioneers, oh, you don't think we can move west? We're going to go west and thrive.
Right.
Look at us now. People are complaining about, we were poor 60 years ago. Look how much money we have now. Like, you don't want to flaunt it, like I was jokingly saying a moment ago. But they're in a position to help people charitably as a church. With NIL, there are individuals who want to donate to this program. That's what I mean by that. By the way, the preseason poll for BYU, let's say they're 14 in the AP poll. That would be the second highest ever. The highest BYU's ever started was your senior year. Do you recall what number that would be? You win the Natty.
Yeah.
You're completely disrespected. And you start at number?
I can't even remember.
10.
Yeah, and we finished like 13 or 12 or something
finished
like
16.
That. Yeah, 16 that year. Lost some games we absolutely should not have lost that year. Honestly, I thought we had more talent in 85 than we had in 84. But sometimes it's not about the talent. Sometimes it's about how everybody
UTEP
comes
has
together.
The headset.
Yeah, sometimes UTEP steals your steals your stuff. But we actually should have beaten UCLA and Ohio State that year,
sure.
too. But, that just goes to show you. And where did we start in 84?
Like unranked.
Yeah, unranked. So
Auburn in 2010 was the first team since BYU in 84 to go unranked to national
team. I think with college football playoff in front, and that is a goal for everybody associated with this program, even the players and the coaches that want to be in the college football playoff. To start at 14 is helpful. It's better because you have much less of an uphill climb. At 14, you go out and you win those first 3 games, which
by the way, the Stanford game just got way more interesting with the Bachmeyers.
Yeah, with the Bachmeyers here. But that should be a win with 26 players going into the portal after Troy got fired.
And
over
you
there.
Would know you had a son-in-law play at Stanford.
Absolutely.
You followed them closely.
And so you would expect BYU to win those first 3. If they win those first 3 and they look pretty convincing, now you're inside of that top 12.
Yeah.
From that point forward,
you're in a great
now you go
position.
Take care of business.
Yep.
And you might even be able to, if you look through the first 6 games the way the schedule sets up, be able to be ranked maybe in 6, 7 by the time you start to play which I think is the toughest part of schedule when you get to Utah and some of those in the middle of the season, you can lose a game at that point and not drop off the face of the earth.
Yes.
And so I think it's important that they're ranked to start the season.
You might be able to drop two.
But they're far enough back that Kalani will still put a giant chip on everybody's shoulder.
Yes, you know? And that's still a question I've got is the sustainability, right, can BYU handle success? Can they have a different chip on the shoulder to motivate them to get above that?
He's got them all thinking about, we never should have lost those two games we lost last year. We didn't prepare the way we should have. Like, you talk to every player, and everyone says this. Yeah, we should have been in the college football playoff last year, but we blew it, and we are really going to work. So he's got them. He gets them focused on the right things.
Yep. So. And my concern is, can you turn it over 29 times again? Yeah. Can you execute on special teams like you did?
Right.
Can the offense seize the moment where they took advantage of short fields and takeaways and were explosive at times?
But we're okay. We're okay with 14 in the national polls and three with the Big 12 polls, right?
Oh, come on.
We're good with it.
I love a good preseason hype. What I like better is winning during the season.
Oh, yeah.
Like, obviously, we got to fill the time. So. It's nice if BYU talked about. Our question today is this. Where do you expect BYU football to land in the Big 12 preseason poll? Again, this will be the coaches voting. That'll be in the first week of July, after July 4th. I think it's, the 8th and the 9th in Dallas at Trent Reed on X. Feels like national polls have BYU second among Big 12 schools, while the Big 12 will rank us fourth. It's a little bit of PTSD.
You know what?
I think BYU will be third. That's where I'm kind of feeling this.
So Jerry Amy Mason 1 on X says, third or fourth, still underestimated, but not ignored.
I'm okay with that. I want BYU to be underestimated. We've seen what BYU does when people don't think they can do it.
They love playing with a chip.
I love BYU when they are just a little PO'd.
Right? Exactly.
Continue to weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram. Okay, Blaine, since you're on the show today, I did want to ask you this. I know they covered it yesterday, but what is the signing of Bear Bachmeyer, which is just a great name, let's be honest, mean for the future of the quarterback position at BYU? Because on Friday I said, hey, I want a little more depth at quarterback, and boom, the next day, Bear Bachmeyer.
Yeah, and he solidifies a lot for them because this is somebody BYU recruited before.
They have a relationship.
BYU likes those kinds of players that are in the portal. They recruit them. They're real close. They feel like they have a relationship. They go someplace else. They don't transfer because I'm not getting playing time. I don't agree with the coach. He comes because the coach got fired, and now everything's going to change. So things are unsettled. So now all of a sudden he and BYU are talking. So BYU wanted him in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
They already had an existing relationship. He already knows what BYU has to offer. They know what he has to offer at 6'2". 225 pounds, one of the top six dual threat quarterbacks in the country coming out of high school, and comes with all of his eligibility left, basically. I think he's a very dynamic player that can have a big impact. And the fact that he's a youngin', he could compete to be the backup this fall and get playing time. And if he does, he comes back and competes for the starting job the next year. I love this signing. I think it solidifies some things for BYU. And so, and I think he's going to fit in really, really well. And he's a big, athletic guy that can throw make all the throws, can run around and make plays. And I think he's got a little bit of a mentality. Maybe he's got a little Max Hall in him. Here's why I say that.
Mm.
If you're going to wear number 47 as a quarterback.
I was going to bring that up. 47.
You better be good. You can't just walk in and say, I'm a QB, but I want 47 and not back it up. So he's got a little swagger to him.
Social media handle, it's a big deal for him. We'll have to.
A little swagger to him, and I like that in my quarterbacks.
I'm going to say something crazy.
Okay.
BYU's never signed a guy like Bear Bachmeyer before. The number six dual threat in the country?
Yeah.
Maybe you coming out of college when you told Penn State and Miami no, and you came to BYU. But the number six dual threat and number 11 quarterback overall, this is in the Ben Olsen, Jake Heaps type space.
Right.
And there's another kid BYU's going after for next year
that
has mission plans.
Right.
That's way up there too, don't get me wrong. But when you tell me the dude has impressive passing numbers, but he also has 30 rushing touchdowns in high school, including 10.6 yards per carry his senior year, and he was explosive in the pass game, this guy is going to compete for the backup spot right away. He may even push Jake, who knows? And maybe he's the guy next year. Everything's year to year with the transfer portal. We don't know anything about a year from now, per se. But I don't know that BYU signed a guy like this, like that has this national love. Taysom Hill certainly turned into that kind of guy.
Oh, yeah.
And he went to Stanford, a nice connection there, I suppose, right? And never played there, but came here. Like a lot of connections there. Bear Bachmeier could be a baller. Like, on paper, this guy looks like the next awesome QB at BYU. Yeah. Let's certainly let it play out and see, but the fact that he brings his brother, his name's Tiger, like, that's super fun, and the Cougs and the whole thing. Hank, by the way, was in the mix once he transferred from Boise State. I know there was perhaps conversations with BYU, so there's a familiarity with the family already. Obviously, Hank quarterbacks that team that beats BYU when they're number 10 in Provo. Like, ah, the negative feelings there. But it's fun to have a guy like that who wants to be at BYU. Obviously, things get shaken up at Stanford. BYU benefits. They play Stanford this year. Man, I think this is a big-time signing.
You talk about style. Steve Young was a dual-threat guy before his time. He's that kind of guy, hopefully.
Yes.
Right? And
the greatest eight-string-turned NFL MVP ever.
Steve played great. So he didn't come with all of that.
He didn't come out like this.
Jimmy McMahon, who you and I spent a lot of time with a couple weeks ago on the cruise, also an unbelievable dual-threat guy. This guy's bigger and stronger, and so this is going to be really, really fun.
He's Taysom's size.
Yeah.
He's 6'2", 225.
And he can throw it, so it's going to be fun. BYU baseball's on the road today at Wichita State. Coverage begins at 4 Eastern time on BYU Radio and ESPN+.
Up next, the newest men's basketball edition. Tyler Maras joins the show. Why he chose BYU, what are his expectations for next season? This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU men's basketball has signed an elite 6'7 shooter from the transfer portal.
And Muris for three. Good!
They're hoping he's some combination of Trevanell and the Whitmack. That's the kind of firepower you need in the Big 12. Kevin Young and this staff have changed the game for BYU. His name is Tyler Maras, and he is with the BYU Cougars. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation, your day-to-day Cougar sports play-by-play. Jeremy Jordan alongside Blaine Fowler. Let's bring in the aforementioned newest signee for BYU men's basketball. Tyler Maras joins the program from Moscow, Idaho, where he's finishing up with the Vandals, then he'll join the Cougars. Tyler, how you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Hey, we're stoked to get to know you a little better. Thanks for joining the program. First off, tell us, one, what it was like to play against BYU, and then you jump in the portal and you're like, oh, those guys are interested in me? I've already got some buckets in that gym.
Yeah, it was surreal, man. It was I've never played in a March Madness game, so that game was probably the closest to being in that kind of atmosphere and environment. The fans were crazy. It felt kind of like an NBA game. And the talent, it was different playing against that type of talent. And it was funny, right when I entered the portal, there was a couple of my teammates, one by the name of Kyson Rose. He's from Utah. He kind of manifested this whole situation. He told me, he's like, man, I think you're going to fit great into that BYU system. You can just be a good shooter for them. And yeah, I mean, I was hoping they would hit my phone, and when they did, you know, I had to jump on it, and I'm blessed just to be here.
Shout out Kyson Rose.
Yeah, there we go. A new recruiter on BYU staff. So, Tyler, let's talk a little bit more about fit. So, obviously, you had multiple options where you could have gone. You had the opportunity to play down here. But what was it about the program itself that made you feel like this is the right fit for me as I move forward?
Yeah, first of all, I'm a winner. And I, looking at this roster, you know, this team's going to do a lot of winning. And I just want to be a part of that, part of, you know, being on a national championship team. And just kind of the level and competition that I said before, I want to take my game to the highest level possible, you know. Then the end goal is to play in the NBA one day. You know, I think this is the best possible situation to, you know, help me improve and get to that level. I just like the guys around, the guys that I met, and the coaching staff has been amazing. So,
this staff certainly, we like to call it Provo. They have so much experience at the next level. What was it about their conversation with you that was like, okay, they can actually help me get to the next level? Because that's certainly one of the strengths of the program at this moment.
Yeah, it's all the coaches just being around, you know, the NBA. And it's not even just the coaches. It's the nutritionists, the strength coaches. They've all been around the NBA. And, you know, I knew that with this kind of support staff and the resources that this school has, you know I could take my game to another level.
Tell us about Kevin Young. Obviously, you've had a chance to interact with him. Your first impressions of Kevin Young. And when you think of Kevin Young, what do you think Kevin Young can do to unlock your potential and help you get better?
Yeah, so when I first met Kevin Young, you know, you kind of look at guys and you think they're these giants. But meeting Kevin Young, he's just a super cool, down-to-earth guy. Probably one of the coolest coaches I've ever met, you know, easy to talk to. And like kind of I said before, he's just been around the NBA for so long. He's been with, you know, guys like JJ Redick for the 76ers, guys that are kind of like me, who are 3-and-D guys. And I just know he's been around a lot of great talent, and he knows what it's like to get to the NBA, and he knows how to win. So, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to ask you the comps, but you mentioned JJ Redick. So you're hoping that you don't come out in the second half? Is that the idea? Like last thing? Tell us about
it. No, I have a different – I have, guys like Dalton Connect, Austin Reeves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm trying to be a little bit better defenders than those guys. But those are the guys I definitely look up to, try to pick their brain, kind of take little bits and pieces of their game. But, yeah, there's a lot of 6'6 shooter white dudes in the NBA. Yes, there are.
Duncan Robinson, yes, there are.
Yeah, exactly.
But, and the thing that those guys get wedged into, like, 3 and no D a lot of times. So what is it that you bring on the defensive end that has you excited and fans should be excited? Because Kevin Young mentioned your defense in his quote in the release when you were signed.
Yeah, so I have a lot of length and athleticism, obviously, but I think the biggest thing for me is my mentality. I pride myself probably biggest on the defensive end. You know, my shooting, it's going to come and go, but, you know, every possession I'm going to defend. And I want the competition. I want the other team's best wing player. You know, going against guys like Richie and AJ is just going to help me make my defense that much better. You know, I'm excited to compete against those guys.
You guys were just comparing, Tyler, you and Jerem, NBA guys. And, of course, the fans are like, well, who's he like? Like, is he like Whit Mag? Is he, you know, who's he like? Is he like Trevin Nell? And we're all going, well, he's kind of a combination. He shoots it like Trevin, but hopefully he plays defense like Moet does. That would be a great combo. Replace two guys with one guy that can do both of those things. As you've had a conversation with KY and the staff, have they outlined what they hope your role will be with this squad?
Yeah, they kind of outlined it to like more of like a Trevin Nell role, you know, getting in, shooting the ball, spacing the court. They obviously want to develop my game and add different things like passing and driving. They didn't really talk about my defensive, you know, side. I don't think a lot of people expect a lot of stuff defensively from me. And, you know, I think a lot of people are going to be surprised. I'm going to be my own player. But, yeah, people are going to see when I step on the court.
Let's talk about your journey. I always like learning, like, where people have been and what they've overcome. So where'd you grow up? And I see Seattle in there. I see Alaska Fairbanks for your freshman year and then the last 2 years at Idaho.
Yeah, so I spent my high school career in Seattle. Had a lot of, you know, Division I interest and offers my sophomore year. And then going into my junior year, the transfer portal happened. COVID happened, so I lost a lot of opportunities. So Alaska Fairbanks was, you know, the only spot that gave me a full ride Division II offer. And I didn't want my family to pay for college because I had 3 younger brothers. So, you know, I was going to go there, kill for a year, and then, you know, work my way back to that Division I level, and that's where I kind of ended up at Idaho. And I fell in love with Idaho kind of similarly how I fell in love with BYU. You know, great community, people out there are amazing, the coaching staff was great, the arena was probably the best in the Big Sky. And, you know, I did my time there. Well, actually, my sophomore year, I only played in 2 games because I don't know if you guys are familiar with the Paul George leg injury. That kind of pretty much happened to me.
You had that? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Thankfully, thank God that it didn't break the skin. But you know,
I was going to say, not a compound fracture?
No.
But still painful.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, worst pain I've ever been in. Shattered fibula in 5 pieces, tore a couple ligaments in my ankle, had to get a plate and 12 screws and a tightrope. So, you know, I'm like the Winter Soldier of legs.
Wow.
Yeah, so yeah, it's been a crazy journey, man. And then now I'm here. I'm just blessed, man. I've been, you know, working my butt off to get where I'm at right now. So, you know, I'm going to be working hard every time I get on the court, every opportunity I get, because I can see how fast it can be taken away from you.
Yeah.
You know, it's not forever.
Was it in the run of play? What happened on the injury?
Yeah, so my teammate turned the ball over, and I was trying to run down, get like LeBron chase down block, but I didn't have that kind of athleticism, I guess. Landed on my leg kind of bad, and yeah, I snapped it, and I was out for the whole year. It was a really tough year.
Wow.
Physically, obviously, but more mentally, for sure.
Wow. And hey, that's a lot to come back for. Here, by the way, we call it a Kabakata block, not a LeBron James block.
Yeah, you'll get Kabakata.
I don't know if you've seen him. He's had a couple of those that were like, oh, my goodness.
The Iowa State block is the one you need to watch if you haven't already.
If you haven't seen that one. It's like, so we just, hey, LeBron's great and all that, but we do
Kabakata. You don't have to chase him down. Cable will do that for you. That's what we're saying.
So I asked you what the coach's expectations were for you, but I want to ask you, like, what's your overall expectations for yourself as an individual with this team and what you want to do on the floor and off the floor with your time here at BYU?
Yeah, I know there's going to be a lot of growing pains. Like, this is a new level, new guys for me. But, you know, the end goal for me this year is, you know, gaining experience and keep getting better throughout the season. And I want to, you know, do as much as I can to help the team win, whatever that may be, if that's shooting, defending. You know, I just want to be a piece that can help this team go all the way. I want to gain experience from that and, you know, going into next year, you know, maybe have a bigger role with these guys leaving. But, you know, it's really just gaining the experience and, you know, competing for a championship and getting that experience with that.
When do you wrap up at Idaho and when will we expect you in Provo?
Yeah, I get done with this week. I think Wednesday or Thursday, and then I'll head back to Seattle, bring my stuff, spend a couple weeks with the family, and then, you know, I'm out to Provo for the rest of the summer.
Awesome. Well, we can't wait to have you here, man. That's crazy, that injury that you went through, but we can't wait to see you again in the Marriott Center, this time in white and blue. So thanks for the time, Tyler, and best of luck with finishing up finals, I assume, at Idaho.
Thank you for having me, guys.
Awesome. Thanks, Tyler. Looking forward to seeing you.
Tyler Maruss.
Yeah.
Man, that is crazy, that injury he went through.
That's the first I've heard of that. So that
Oh, my gosh.
That's a lot to come back from, and for him to perform the way he did this last season with that, and it sounds like he's 100% healthy now. This is what a great story. Now I have no doubt.
Smells like a deep blue. Yeah,
now I have no doubt that this guy's going to understand how to grind.
Yes.
You don't come back from that without learning how to grind.
That's why I wanted to ask that question. What have you overcome?
Yeah.
My goodness. I'm the winter soldier of leg injuries.
Yeah. And he has the injury. Like, he was talking, and I was thinking of Jake Retzlaff, the quarterback, who, same kind of timing coming out of high school.
Yes.
Like, nobody's interested in me.
No one
it's the COVID year. Nobody's doing this. No, like, I got to go to the JC route. I got to go to another JC. Yes. And look what he's doing.
Paid the price.
So maybe he's the basketball parallel, and he's had even more to overcome than Jake. So it's pretty cool story. We'll be following that.
And that's just the tip of the iceberg. That was a 10-minute comment.
That's awesome. So great to hear from him. Hey, BYU softball's a 6th seed in the Big 12 tournament.
Let's go, ladies.
11 seed Houston.
Here we go.
In their first round game in Oklahoma City. Coverage begins at 8:30 Eastern tomorrow night on ESPN+.
Coming up, an update from women's golf in the NCAA regionals in which Cougar earned All-American recognition. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B. Jerem Jordan alongside Blaine Fowler. Let's get to today's headlines.
Yesterday, BYU basketball announced the signing of Tyler Maruss, a transfer from Idaho. We just talked to him, 6'7" forward, averaged 9.7 points a game while shooting 38% from three last season. Maruss scored 17 points against BYU at the Marriott Center in November of last season, went 4 of 8 from three in that one. And BYU began practices yesterday. Those who were on campus, there's 7 players active yesterday. More are coming in as time progresses. Tyler just told us he's got to finish class, and then he's going to get down there. In the video posted on social media, we saw highlights from A.J. DeBonsa, Richie Saunders, Kabakata, Xavion Staten, among others. So a lot of talent. Even though there's only 7, there's a lot of talent in the building already.
Could BYU make the NCAA tournament with those 7?
Yeah.
That's a question for now.
Yeah.
John Rothstein reports that BYU will play Clemson in the Jimmy V Classic Tuesday, December 19th at Madison Square Garden, the world's most famous arena in New York City. Here's a look at what we have seen published about BYU's non-conference schedule so far. Villanova in Vegas, November 3rd. 2 of these 3 will happen. Dayton, Georgetown, Miami at a tournament in Orlando Thanksgiving weekend. Clemson in the Jimmy V Classic, as mentioned, at Wyoming on there. Note, there's an exhibition game at Nebraska, October 17th.
That's right. Yesterday, multiple analysts and publications released post-spring top 25 polls featuring BYU. BYU was ranked number 14 by Joel Klatt, number 14 by CBS Sports, and number 14 by Athlon Sports. Who knows what 24/7 was even thinking about there at number 2. But Klatt has BYU as the highest-ranked Big 12 team, while CBS Sports had BYU second behind Kansas State, and Athlon Sports has the Cougars second behind Arizona State. So kind of consensus, top two, maybe top three in the Big 12, and certainly a top 15 team would be the consensus in the preseason polls. Way too early preseason polls for BYU.
It's perfectly timed. I don't know.
Yes, it is.
ESPN's Pete Thamel reported this morning the Big 12 Board of Directors has agreed to a three-year contract extension with Commissioner Brett Yormark.
Yes.
The extension runs through 2030. Yormark took over as commissioner in 2022.
I'm going to call him a visionary, and I think he's done a great job.
Absolutely.
So, BYU baseball is looking to bounce back from their series loss to Kansas State on the road today at Wichita State. Coverage begins this afternoon starting at 4 Eastern on BYU Radio and ESPN+.
Luke Benson of men's volleyball named an ABCA honorable mention All-American yesterday. He led the Cougars with 342 kills, 3.5 kills per set. This is the second consecutive season Benson has been an honorable mention All-American.
Yesterday, women's golf finished round one in seventh place of the NCAA regionals in Charlottesville. The team shot 9 over par for the round. The top five teams advanced to the nationals. Senior Alexa Udom leads the way for BYU and ended round one tied for 11th overall even par. BYU teed off in round two earlier this morning. They're currently in seventh place after shooting a plus four through 9 holes.
When we come back, they run the same event at BYU. They're some of the fastest to ever do it in Provo. And they're engaged. Eli Hazlett and Sammy Oblad are in studio after the break. This is BYU Sports Nation. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. Jerem Jordan alongside Blaine Fowler. We were talking before the show about the NCAA championship track meet in 1981 that you went to your freshman year.
That's my favorite track moment.
Herschel Walker was racing for Georgia on the BYU track?
Yeah. I looked down because I really wanted to see the 100, the 200, the 400. Those are some of my favorite events. So I show up for the 100, and I look down the track, and I'm like, who's that humongous dude down there? Like, he, you know the old Sesame Street, one of these things is not like the others. This guy's like 6'2", 230 pounds. Herschel Walker's in the blocks. He finished the seventh in the NCAA championship.
Unbelievable.
You're not supposed to be 230 and run 10 200 meters.
You're not supposed to
happen,
right? No. So. Our next two guests are track stars. Are they as big as Herschel Walker? No. But do they run faster? Probably in the 400.
Yes, I'm sure they could be Herschel.
And they are engaged. Eli Hazlett and Sammy Oblad here. What's up, guys?
How's it going?
Good to have you. Sammy, you're here every couple weeks. You're a familiar face.
Does she come in every time she breaks a record?
Yes.
Because you're going to be in here almost every other week.
I think so,
right?
Which is pretty awesome.
If that's what's going on, right?
And Eli, first time, welcome.
I started feeling left out, so I had to
right?
Be
you're like, hey, wait a minute.
Do something big.
So let's talk about you two first. You both run the 400. You're the record holder, indoor, outdoor, BYU. You got what, number two? Outdoor?
Number two, indoor, number two, outdoor, I think.
Come on, that's pretty good. Did you guys meet running the 400? You run the same event? Like, what's the story here, Eli?
How it started was like 2.5 years ago. We had some coaching issues, and her group that was with another coach joined ours, and we started working out together, and that's basically
that was the introduction.
The introduction, yeah.
How long did it take, Sammy, before you were like, "Hey, let's talk some more"?
Not very long. No, it was pretty quick. It was pretty natural from the beginning, and it made it easy that we're kind of similar interests, doing the same things, spend a lot of our time doing the same things. So made it pretty easy from the get-go.
So obviously you train together, which is great. Got to know each other that way. So you have these same interests on the track. As you're training together and having conversations, did you discover that, wait, we like all the same things off the track too? Mm-hmm. Is that how it all came together? And what are some of the things you do when you're not running track together?
One of the funny stories she likes me to tell her is the first time she caught my eye, it was because of what she was wearing. And she was wearing all these outdoorsy clothes and this outdoorsy backpack in the middle of a crowd of what I would call city folk. And so I was like, I like that one. I like that one.
Them city slickers,
them
right?
City slickers.
So you're from Moab, mm-hmm. which is obviously a tourist destination and amazing. What's it like growing up in Moab?
It was fantastic. It's the dream. It was a little bit different for me because my parents run a river company down there. Mm. And so that's just what the family did every summer.
You did it too?
Still do it now. Yep. Every summer we go down. So it was a little different, but it was great. It's a great place.
And then small town Stansbury Park and thereabouts, right?
Yep.
Do you bond over small town stuff? Is that a thing?
I think so. I think actually quite a bit because it's similar enough upbringings that it's a small crowd. You know your community pretty well. And it's different growing up in that kind of environment. So.
And Eli said you had on outdoorsy stuff.
I think I had a bright orange backpack on, so I don't know whose eye that wouldn't catch.
Yeah, are you into that? Like, do you like to hike and mountain bike and do all of those things? And is that what you guys like to do together when you have spare time?
Yeah, we hike quite a bit. We have a cute dog that likes to go hiking with us.
Are you running? Are you walking?
No, we're walking.
Okay. I was just going to say, didn't know as runners. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I wasn't into mountain biking before, but Eli's gotten me into it since, and we go biking together. We hike, get on the river together. So
you're together off
the track.
A great
Utah couple.
Yeah. And then on the track, how much cross, do you get to train together a lot? And what's that like to train with each other? Train with somebody that you... Yeah, I mean, you love your teammates, but mm-hmm. this is a different kind of love. You guys are getting
better. Like,
there's love. You love
less
your teammates.
Platonic.
And then there's love, right? Yeah. So this is love, right? So what's it like to be, you know, off the track together, but then to train together with somebody that you actually love?
It's pretty fun. I think as I've thought about what has made us so successful in the recent months, recent years, I think that plays a big part in it because all of our energy, all of our investments are into track, and that is simultaneously investing in each other because we do the same workouts, same lifting, same routine. So at the same time, we're totally bought into track because that's buying into each other, basically.
And 400. You were the mile and she was 100, I don't know
if it would
work out.
Yeah, exactly. It'd be a little different.
Okay, let's talk about breaking your own record, right? 50-49 in the 400 over the weekend.
Wow.
And it's in the middle of kind of high school races, too, so there's a big
yeah.
crowd. What was that like?
It was funny. The nerves that I was experiencing before that were taking me back to high school. I was like, oh, this is the high school nerves that I'm feeling. I'm running the BYU invite. But it was kind of silly, that feeling of, oh, this big crowd, all these high schools around. But it ended up being kind of the perfect storm of having people cheering us on the entire way around the track. I had people yelling at me from literally the fence that goes all the way around. There were people cheering for me, and it was an exciting crowd to do it in. We both had family there, which was awesome. And then the weather couldn't have been more perfect. So
when it's a day like that and you think, man, it's a great crowd here. Man, the weather feels good. I feel good today. Did you have in your mind, I might go break my own record today? Did you think that when you lined up to go, did you think, I could do this today?
Like 5 minutes before the race, I went over to my coach and I said, Kyle, am I PRing today? Like, is today a day that I should expect to, like, do something nice? And he just kind of laughed. He's like, yeah, yep.
So your expectation was, I think I'll go break my own record today. You thought you would. And then you don't really know. I noticed as I watched you finish the race, as I watched the highlight of the race, you kind of, it didn't flash up on the board immediately. And then it did, and you realized that you broke it. What's that feeling like to say, I think I'm going to do this. I'm the baddest person on this track right now. I think I'm going to do this. And then look up and see the score, see the time and go, what's that feel like?
Well, I was expecting to break the record, but not by that much. Mm-hmm. I was thinking, like, oh, I'll go 51.5, right? It'll be a nice little break. I'll be happy with that. So it was quite a shock to see that 50 point come
what
up.
What was the margin of record here? A second
or two, 1.3,
right? Which is,
1.4.
Which is massive.
In the 400, that's jump. Eli can attest to that,
no,
right?
It's a jump. Yeah. No, it was a shock. I was pretty ecstatic. It doesn't set in. It still doesn't set in. If someone asks me what I run, I'll say, oh, I run like a 53. So,
like, nope, 50,
no, you run under 51. That's nuts.
And it was amazing because Carter Cutting's running the mile mm-hmm. in an amazing mm-hmm. time. Lexi Alladay-Lowry is crushing it. Like, there was a lot of momentum kind of as a team, mm-hmm. Eli.
Yeah.
How did that play into things for everybody else?
Yeah, for me, in the video, in her video, as she crosses the finish line, the time goes up on the board. You can see me smile and kind of go like this because I was like, it's about to go down. Like,
you knew, you knew too.
I knew, yeah.
So you must have been feeling good that day as well. You ran the second fastest 400-meter time in program history, same meet, mm-hmm. right? Your feelings before, did you feel like she did? Did you think?
You knew right away too, and there's Sammy supporting you.
Exactly. Yeah. Did you feel like, it's going down today? I'm running a great time today.
Yeah, I knew I'd never broken 46. I never run 45. I knew I was going to because it's 2 days before we had a 4x4 and I ran a 45.6 or something on the lead leg. So I knew it was going to go down. And all of my teammates, Josh, Trey, it just depends on the day of who's going to get the race. And we all want it just as bad as the other. And it literally just depends on the day of who comes out on top. But it's really fun to race with those guys. It's hard not to run fast with those guys
That's
chasing
awesome.
You.
What's the time for number one, and how close are you?
45.1, so just barely. He was one of my teammates my freshman year, so I look up to him big time.
Can you get that?
I'm pretty confident I can.
There you go.
You got a couple more races too, including the Big 12 championship.
Yep.
So kind of walk us through what the expectations are coming up at Kansas May 15th through the 17th.
Conference is fun because it's championship season. You're getting into championship season, but a lot of us have our eyes set on regionals and nationals. So it's kind of fun to just go out there, and it's not that it doesn't matter, but it kind of, our focus is on something else. So we can go out there and run whatever we want. I see it as kind of like training. Like, I'm training for more competition and more championship season, but that's how I feel about it.
So you're both seniors, getting married in July. And then what? Like, we know that's the big thing on the horizon. What about with your track careers and those kinds of things? What's next for you as you pass from BYU?
I think a lot of it is still being figured out. We're not 100% sure on things. Track-wise, I think we'll take whatever opportunities are thrown our way, but we haven't really figured out too much down the road past July so far.
Let's be honest. That's the main focus. You know? Yeah. What day in July, by the way?
17th, right?
17th. July's a great month to get married.
Yeah. And Jeremy and I got married a long time ago, but we have great advice for you.
Okay.
And that is, it's her day, 100%. Whatever she says.
I thought I was getting married too. Nope, it was my wife's wedding.
I
was a means to an end.
You don't have to have an opinion. You don't have to have anything. You go along with whatever she says, you live happily ever after.
They still ask me for my opinion, though.
I'm not sure why. That's very nice.
That's nice. It's a token. Yeah. It's a token ask.
Yeah.
This is her day, and you fall in line, and everything will be great. That's our advice to you.
You party with the boys.
That's how you stay married 42 years, and Jerem for how many now?
13
years. That's how you do it right there. It's her day.
Yeah, absolutely. It's actually been 14.
You go.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks for coming in. Best of luck at the Big 12 Championships, and congratulations on all this.
Amazing. We're proud of you guys. Way to go.
The number one thing, though, is getting married. That's awesome.
Yeah, exactly. So, hey, if you miss any interviews, shows, or Deep Blues, you can find them on BYUSN.com or download the BYU TV app to get all of BYU Sports Nation content on demand.
When we return, where do you think BYU football will land in the Big 12 preseason poll? Top three? This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Our question of the day, where do you expect BYU football to land in the Big 12 preseason poll? We're about 2 months out from this poll, but hey, we got a daily show. At Elko Cougar on X, lower than they should be.
Yeah, that's fair.
Some teams are perennially overrated. BYU is perennially underrated. But again, we like this, actually.
Yeah. Oh,
there will come a day when BYU, and maybe it's after this year, is expected to do something. They do it. They're expected to do something again, and they continue to do it.
Yeah.
You can't always answer the bell there, per se. And let's be honest, managing expectations is the key to life.
Yeah.
Like, when you don't expect something and it happens, that's pretty exciting. But in this case, we are expecting BYU football to be good.
Yeah.
Just how good? I feel like the team feels like they need an 11-1, 12-0 regular season.
They feel like they underachieved last year. I don't know
Which is wild.
I don't know how Kalani does it.
Yep.
But this is what he has convinced those kids of. And consistently, you and I are around a bunch of them. They are all saying the same thing, and they believe it.
We should have been
underachieved last year. We've got a lot of work to do this
year.
I love that Kalani gets them to do that.
Yep.
So, pretty cool.
Coach Bennett _23 on Instagram. Fifth, still needing to show consistency for more respect.
Okay.
Will it be based on who's on the roster and who's returning or not? Because if it is, BYU should be the
top three.
I don't think BYU will be the preseason pick. I think that's a Kansas State and Arizona State.
They've got to do it a couple years in a row now.
Yes.
So, and Arizona State's got a bunch of dudes.
And that's what your era did.
Yeah.
They answered from 79 to 85. Boom, boom, boom.
Hey, 84 doesn't win a national championship if 83 doesn't win 11 in a row to finish the season and finish number 7 in the country.
And let's be honest, 82 is actually a disappointment.
Exactly.
Like 8-4?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
8-4 might be a disappointment this year, let's be honest.
That's right.
Our elite voice of the day is presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated. At Blue Goggles on X. Top four. Honestly, anything outside of that feels like disrespect.
Agreed.
But hey, we always love to be underestimated. Like a great coach once said, they don't know, but they're about to find out.
Exactly.
We've been saying that a lot. You guys said that in Idaho Falls.
Yeah, we said it in Idaho Falls, exactly. So
today's Rising Shoutout is presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Yeah, let's shout out to BYU offensive lineman Kyle Safarczyk, who got baptized over the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
How about that?
Congratulations.
Pretty cool. Congrats.
That's cool. And he joins a handful of athletes over the last couple of years who have made the decision to join the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, embrace the gospel of Jesus Christ in their life, And hopefully they're happier for it. Because in my life, that's the number one thing in my life is embracing that.
And one thing we've learned with athletes in recent years, I think Yegor Dem is a perfect example. If you're a person of faith, whether you join the Mormon Church or the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints or not, you can exercise your faith here and have an unbelievable experience.
Love it.
Yep.
Next to today's guests, Tyler Maress, Eli Hazlett, and Sammy Oblad. Sorry to Dennis Pitta, we ran out of time.
Yeah. Hey, the conversation continues 24/7 on X, Instagram, Facebook, and all of our shows are on demand on BYUSN.com.
For Blaine, I'm Jeremy. Shout out to Frankie Fredericks, who you saw
yes.
racing some great races at BYU. Go Cougs!